Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, I want you to notice twice in that letter, he mentioned churches. And I underline that in my Bible. My Bible is all marked up. You wouldn't be able to read it. But that's one of the markings I have in my Bible where it says churches. I underline that because it was meant to the other churches would understand what's going on in this church. They'd understand what's going on in Ephesus and Laodicea and all this. That's why he said, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So last week I introduced the city of Thyatira. I'm not going to rehash it because the time won't allow it, but it was one of the least important cities. Historians tell us that. I had the privilege of going there. It's in modern day Turkey. As a matter of fact, there in Thyatira, there's a lot of things you could see, and we had the privilege of going to the seven sites there in Turkey. One of our trips to Israel, we took a bite, went to Turkey too. Of course, none of these churches exist anymore. Nothing but rubble in different places. But it is interesting there in Thyatira that Lydia still has a business. That's a joke. You know, she said, seller of purple. There's a shop there in Thyatira where it was. That whether it's there now, I'm not. But when I was there, it said Lydia's shop. I said, man, she's got to be an old woman by now, you know. Seller of purple. You remember Lydia was from Thyatira. Of course, she was saved in the book of Acts and all. You know the story there. But that's where Lydia's from. And obviously, she was a businesswoman and a seller of purple. And historians again tell us that the thing about purple and the purple dye, it was for royalty and for dye, not just for clothes, but for other things. And the hub of that was there in Thyatira. So it was an important city, but not as like the other ones, but it had some importance to it. And then the other neat thing about Thyatira, we're going to move on, is that it was a hub of a lot of guilds, G-U-I-L-D-S. In other words, to modern day we call it unions, where we have the unions of plumbers union, electric union, and builder, all these other kind of unions, you know, truckers unions and all these other kind of things. That's kind of the same thing I had up there in that area. They had the guilds, all the hand laborers, whatever you want to call it, the guilds. They were very, a lot of them were there in that city and housed there. So when we get here, we talked about in verse number 18, these things saith the Son of God. Matter of fact, again, let me just breeze through this real quick. We talked about this last week. This is the only place in the book of Revelation where Jesus refers to him as the S-O-N of God, the Son of God. Jesus referred to himself here. And why did he do that and not to the other six churches? When I mentioned that there in this city, they had a special place for Apollo. They worshiped Apollo. And Apollo, in the Greek mythology, was the S-U-N God. And so they worshiped the sun god, Apollo, there, had a special place for that S-U-N god. Well, Jesus just reminded those people there, hey, I'm the sun, the S-O-N of God. And he talked about whose eyes, Jesus is speaking about himself, who hath eyes like unto a flame and his feet are like unto fine brass. We addressed this last week. Speaks about the judgment and his eyes, that penetrating gaze, that he looks beyond to what you do and he looks beyond your method and looks at your motive. And that's why he says, I know your works, in verse number 19. I know your works. He mentions that to all these seven churches. And we could look at that both ways. On which side of the coin you're on, I don't know. It could be a good thing. I know your works. There's a lot of people who work and nobody recognizes what they do. But God knows what you do. The smallest thing that you may think it's small, God knows. I know your works. Now, the other side of that coin is this. God knows your works. You think you get away with it. Well, and other people may not know what's going on in your life and at home and the privacy of whatever it is. God knows. So there, you look at it both ways, positively and negatively. But God, literally what Jesus is doing here, this first part, I call it the approval of the church, the commendation of the church. In all these letters, he had the same pattern. He commended them. He approved, you know, some of the good things, and then he would come back if they had something against them. We see the accusation of the church. But anyway, there's the approval of the church. He says, I know thy works and thy charity, thy service and faith, thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. And I remember mentioning this last week about how they actually, this was a church that was thriving. They were growing. That's what it means when he says that in verse number 19, that the last to be more in the church. Notice he mentioned works twice here. I know thy works. And then again, he finished that. I know thy works. Why? Because, man, they were working people. And they're working more now than they were when they first started. They were going and they were growing and their love was going even more. And compared to the church at Ephesus, remember the church at Ephesus? They were going, but yet they lost their first love. This one was going and their love was increasing. But there was a little difference between Ephesus, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But anyway, it's interesting. We looked at that last week. And then we got to verse number 20. Notwithstanding. So in verse number 19, these are the good things, the approval of the church. Verse number 19, here's the accusation of the church. Notwithstanding, you've done good. But listen, I know your works. I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. And I remember I left off there last week when I mentioned Jezebel. And I underlined in my Bible three lines under the word that. Why is that so important? Because there are some commentators who think that there actually was a woman in that church named Jezebel. I can't picture anybody naming a child Jezebel. Even today, do y'all know anybody named Jezebel? I don't know. Maybe a bulldog or something, you know. But anyway, neither here nor there, and I don't want to pick on anybody. But it's just not a common name anymore because the name Jezebel is associated with evil. She was one of the most evil women, not just the Old Testament, but in all the Bible. We find that she married a fellow by the name of Ahab. And I have it marked here. And let me just share some thoughts with you about this. Just a little history here. There's a king named Ahab, okay? And it said that Ahab reigned over Israel 22 years, and Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So up to this point now, Ahab is the most evil king Israel has, and then he marries Jezebel, which adds even more to the problem. He married a bad woman. Matter of fact, the name Jezebel means unmarried. Okay, there was so much here, and I got notes. One of these days, I'll put it all together. But anyway, Jezebel was the one who led Israel en masse to the worship of Baal. Ahab brought Baal worship there because of Jezebel came from that line of pagans, if I could say. Sure didn't. She wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't a Jew who worshiped Jehovah God. Ahab was supposed to be. And Jezebel brought all these false idols, especially Baal worship, in mass. And she was the one responsible. Of course, Ahab was the king. But I mentioned before, Ahab was henpecked. Okay, Jezebel ruled the roost. How do you know that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Remember a fellow by the name of Naboth. Before we get to the story of Naboth, I love the story. Remember the story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and how it wasn't raining, they had a contest. And the Bible tells us that Jezebel took care of, in verse number of chapter number 18, verse number 19, it says Jezebel had, she had set at her table 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves. So Jezebel took care of these false prophets, 850 of them at least. The word says that she eats at their table, they eat at her table, means more than she just said, you know, fed them breakfast, lunch, and supper. It meant that she took care of them. She provided all their needs, whether it was a salary, the housing, all that, whatever was included. She took care of these people.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. And come join us for special homecoming services this Sunday, November 7th, at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We're celebrating 58 years, and we'll have special singing by the Old Time Preachers Quartet. Come join us for a wonderful time of worship. We hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.